Thanks for joining us for Perspectives on AM 990 and FM 101.5, The Word. This is the show where authors share their heart behind their book and help us grow in our Christian faith. Now, here's Suzanne Lynn.
Well, good morning. It is good morning. I think I had an extra cup or two of coffee, so I might be a little more awake than normal this morning, but I'm glad that we are spending time together, hanging out on this last Sunday of September. Cue the pumpkin spice and everything, autumn decorations coming out, right? You know, I am looking forward to 2023. 2022, a little rough for us and as a family, but 2023, there is a cruise that is going to help deepen your faith. If that's something that you feel like you might want to consider, listen, it's called the Deeper Faith Mediterranean Cruise. Mediterranean Cruise 2023. It's a travel with Alistair Begg. You're going to stop at the most exotic places in the Mediterranean, check out the pricing, the itinerary, and make your reservations to travel with Alistair. It's AM 990, FM 101.5, The Word. Hey, listen, I'm Suzanne, and we have got some amazing authors coming up. Let's check them out right after this.
Does your child throw frequent tantrums? Do they have to win at everything they try? I Quit is hugely popular with parents now experiencing the same thing. Buy your copy on Amazon or BarnesandNoble.com and help your child become more resilient today.
An absolutely inspiring, encouraging book. That is the best way I can describe this. It's called Put a Tiger in Your Tank by author Sally Breeze Green. What a joy. I mean, this is just a feel-good, Christ-centered book that's so entertaining. I want you to stick around. Welcome, Sally Breeze Green. We're glad you're here.
Thank you. Thank you. It's good to be back.
I got to tell you, I really enjoyed this one personally, but I would love for you to share just the main message of Put a Tiger in Your Tank.
Well, it starts with a little girl who loves to do good things for other people, but this doesn't totally bring her the joy she thought it would. Mm-hmm. And so until her car cratered on the on the road and a garage mechanic happened to drive by, he fixed her car, but then he led her to Christ and she went down the street to the church and found out that the best infilling is the Holy Spirit in her life. And mm-hmm. then she really went on with the tiger in her tank.
And the tiger in her tank is the Holy Spirit of now moving forward to not just help people, but to share the word of Christ with them. Is that right?
That's right. And have the power to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you think that, what is that tiger? What does it take to get that tiger? Because she was obviously a very giving person, a loving person who cared about people. What was it? Courage? What was it?
No, I think it was finding that even on her own, she had not strength enough to be totally full of joy or helping in every way she could. And until you find Jesus, you just don't have that motivation or that infilling of the Spirit. And you don't get that unless you confess and accept Him.
So it sounds like the main character had kind of a hole in her heart. She had something
yes.
missing. But I'm thinking that some of the listeners and viewers right now may know someone who's got an addictive personality and they're doing some really destructive things. That hole in your heart can look like a whole lot of different things, right? It's not just an emptiness. It can be they can be filling it with other things.
That's correct. And a lot of times you spend your life trying to fill the tank with all kinds of things, but you end up feeling empty still.
Those are very powerful, true words, absolutely. What made you write this book?
Well, this is another one that came from my dream life. I swear, he still speaks through dreams.
He speaks in your dreams. I love that.
He really does. I'll tell you where it first began when I preached a sermon with this title, trying to reach out to my congregation that they needed an infilling of the Spirit. And it later transposed itself into a children's story because I was already in the ball, was doing kids' stories. Mm-hmm. So it looked like a really good segue into one that would reach the kids in a non-threatening and non-controversial way, you know, without a lot of religious preaching.
Right, right.
And sometimes people get turned off by a lot of religiosity when it really is just much more simple.
Which leads me back to another character in your book, Bill, who was the mentor of the main young girl.
Yes.
You are doing for the congregation and for the world what he did for her. He met her where she was at.
Yes.
And that's really important. Important that you're the smartest one. You don't have to know every Bible verse. You don't have to, but share about how just loving people, meeting them where they're at, how that's important. Because I see you doing that, and I see you creating characters about that.
Well, I thank you for seeing that. I didn't see that myself at first. Mm-hmm. You never think of yourself as the mentor.
Yeah.
And yet, as old as I've gotten, I realize I used to preach and teach and sing, and you know, at my advanced age, I've gone to the page because I can do that from my chair and my computer. But it's the only way I seem to be able to reach out with any kind of evangelism. My husband went to Uganda, but I'll never make that trip.
Wow.
So
wow.
I have to reach out and hope, as you said, if I can reach just one person with this, I'll be tickled.
One of the points that you make is that she, after she was mentored, she was given the opportunity to share her faith. She's probably had them before, but she just wasn't maybe ready to. Can you kind of expound on that?
Well, it could be. She may have had it deep in her heart. She wouldn't have wanted to do good without something inside of her to motivate her. And so when she met Bill, he kind of made that alive to her when he told her the story of Jesus. And she said, oh, I want that. And that's the big deal. If you see that in somebody and say, I want what she's got or he's got, then they will pursue it maybe on their own. And hopefully that mentor will lead them to church or to some kind of a commitment to Christ.
Sally, as we talk about this main character being such a nice person, it really would have been an easy thing for her to say, I don't need Jesus. I'm a nice person. I do good for other people.
Mm-hmm.
That contrast is very black and white. Like, it's not enough to just be good or nice.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And I think she felt that. There's, again, that Holy Spirit is there, and he kind of woos you and niggles you along to where you realize you need something more. You may not know what that connection is.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe you've got that connection, but you don't have that total connection where you give yourself over totally, and and the infilling of the tiger or the spirit fills you and make you realize what you've got to do then, because it drives you. It really does. It drives you to share your faith.
Yeah.
No matter where you are.
So it's interesting because Bill gave her the gift of being bold and sharing Christ with her, but she didn't just receive it and then stop. She went on to find a church. So
we
can be given a gift, but if we don't really open it and use it,
well, it just stays bottled up in you.
Right.
And you think, well, that was pretty fun today. But I mean, then you drive on down the road and your car's fixed and you're happy with what you got.
Right.
But still, once you've heard, it's in the hearing of the ear that the word comes through, I think the Bible says. And I think once she heard him explain to her not only scripture, but maybe his own faith, he shared his own faith with her, it stays in there. And it'll bubble up whether you do it right then or you come back to it later. Once he's got a foothold, he doesn't let you go.
Would you talk about the importance of her finding a church and the importance of community?
Oh, yeah, that's very important because you can't go it alone. It's like the old story of the briquettes on the little fire pot. You know, you got them all together in the middle and they make a big fire. and just one little brickhead over here thinking he can light up and be good by himself. But alone, you really dry up and blow away, or you never catch fire. You need community. You need the affirmation and the, I don't know if the word's approbation. I'm grabbing words at my age.
Okay. Yeah. It just sounded really smart to me.
It sounded smart. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll take that. You need the community to keep you together with what you're saying and how you're living. And if you're not living what you say, then your words are useless. And you can't get that when you're by yourself, because you can always pat yourself on the back and say, hey, I'm doing pretty good, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So
who is this book really geared for? Is there an age?
Well, I think I wrote that down in my notes to myself here. It's really for the middle-aged children in a way that they can grasp making a commitment to Jesus and the infilling of the Holy Spirit without a lot of religious words.
Mm-hmm.
Because he didn't mention Jesus till the very end. I mean, she's going through all of this stuff until she gets to the end. So I hope it engages them to that point. When they get to the end, they
because
will see the prayer.
There's something special there. I was just going to say, I didn't know if you wanted to reveal that it's a prayer. Tell me about the prayer that you have in there.
Well, it's a little bit like Billy Graham's Prayer of Sinners, although little kids don't think much of themselves as being sinners. But it does give the feel. It's very easily worded so that they can just say, you know, I really want to be like Bill, who taught me, and then I want a tiger in my tank so that I have power to go down the road. Because he gave that to me and to my car. So trying to link the two metaphors together is what I was driving at.
Well, Sally, we want to thank EC Publishing for making this interview possible, and tell us where your books are available.
Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and iTunes, and it's also on my website.
Which is?
SallyBreezeGreenBooks.com.
Very good. Sally, thank you for joining us today. Have a wonderful day.
You is your child shy?
Bless you.
Do they have difficulty making friends? Do they worry that no one will like them? Teach your kids to have confidence in themselves and embrace who they are. Grab a copy of The Day I Met My Best Friend on Amazon or BarnesandNoble.com today.
Stick around. More Perspectives is on the way with Suzanne Lynn on AM 990 and FM 101.5. The Word. Welcome back to Perspectives with Suzanne Lynn. You can also listen online to the Perspectives podcast. Just click on thewordorlando.com. Now, once again, here's Suzanne.
I'm really looking forward to sharing my next author with you. It's an opportunity to really open your eyes, and you may consider yourself not racist, not prejudiced, but maybe you don't know the extremes of the history of what it's taken for African Americans to enter this world and some of the things they've had to go through. L.A. Champagne is putting this in such precise words and painting a picture that I think you're really going to enjoy. She wrote the book. It's a trilogy. It's Common Threads. And this is book two. We've talked about book one in another interview, and we want to welcome L.A. Champagne to talk about book two. We're glad that you're here today.
How are you?
I'm very, very well. Why don't you go ahead and explain just the overall message of the whole trilogy right now?
Okay, the message of the whole trilogy is that we can't all live together and fight like we always do. There are so many differences. You have to allow the differences to come out. You have to be in a safe world, and it's not a safe world.
You know, the things that you're talking about in this particular book are so horrific.
Yes.
But in some ways, we're still not equal in treating people with the respect that we deserve based on skin color.
Yeah. We still aren't. No.
Would you talk about that a little bit? You know, the gap that's there still.
Yeah, it's it's very horrible. Even 150 years of history has gone by, and there's not a lot that's changed. There are basically no slave ships anymore, and that we know of. Mm-hmm. And there is a world of difference between white and, pardon me, I'm going to use the term black, but I don't mean any offense by it.
Right.
I'm sort of, you know, gauging white and black family.
Sure. Just for simplicity. Yeah.
Yeah.
Why are you so passionate about this topic? Why is this just pouring out of your heart?
Because I grew up in a white town, and we didn't have any issues like that. There was barely one family in the town that was colored, and that was it. So I was brought up, instead of what you might say a rich world, I was brought up in a straight world where you were white or you were black, but we were taught to have manners and be nice, and, you know, they are just like you. So mm-hmm. that's what we were taught. Mm-hmm. And so all of this, and I had a Catholic upbringing as well.
Mm-hmm.
So there you have the Lord coming into it with, you know, the differences he has made with us.
Mm-hmm. So it's really a story of respect and opening our eyes to.
It is. The horrors that black people went through, whereas the white people are the ones that did it to them.
Sure. Is it based on any, like a true, I mean, I realize this is fiction, but, you know, how much?
No, it's not a true story. It just came up in my head.
Okay. But yeah. It's based on the fact that we all know of the mistreatment of slaves.
Right.
So, yeah, a little historical with some filled in. Yeah. Let's talk about some of the characters.
Okay. The characters in book two, the favorite characters I have in book two are Liz and Joe. Now, they are the prime white and black couple that this whole book is about, really. And Liz and Joe are now coming into the States from Chatham, Ontario, where they had been living happily and growing closer, and they got married. So he got a job in Mississippi, but he got the job sight unseen. They just went on how great his work was and how wonderful. He's an engineer. He specialized in bridges. And they were coming into an era where they needed men, and they needed them educated.
Mm-hmm.
And so they reached out and crossed the borders and brought people back. But they didn't. They only went by reputation.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't see them. They didn't look at them. They didn't know that they were hiring a black man.
Mm-hmm.
And they were all white, and some of them were in the KKK.
Oh, boy.
So,
not to the extreme of, I'm sure, what's in your book, but mm-hmm. many people who are listening or watching this right now may have what I'm going to pull from the title of your book, a common thread. We're not saying it's fully developed, but there might be a common thread of that first reaction of being a little bit prejudiced.
Yes.
And wouldn't the greatest gift be if someone were to be able to self-reflect on that and say,
yeah,
wow, I don't want to see even 1% of myself in these people.
I wrote the book to open up people's eyes. And that's why I stretched it out to over 150 years.
Oh.
Because I had to bring you from the worst right up to the mediocre.
Okay. You know, one of the things that you're honest about is your disability. And would you share about, you know, spina bifida and some of the other things you battle every day?
And hydrocephalus. I have both. That's water on the brain, and cerebral spinal fluid is sometimes I get too much of it. Sometimes a knock in the head will do it. Just, you know, banging your head against something could, you know, get you more fluid, and then I would have to get a surgery to replace my shunt, which is what takes the fluid down.
Okay.
And the spina bifida is a hole in my back, which two vertebrae were protruding up through, but there was a membrane covering it. If that membrane hadn't been there and the cerebral spinal fluid was open to the air, I'm dead.
Do you know what an inspiration you are in being a writer? What would you, because we got to start wrapping up this interview, but what would you say to people with disabilities about the stories they might have in their head and wanting to write it?
Yeah, I think everybody should write regardless of a disability or not. I think you really have to give it a try, even if you have to dictate a whole book. You know, that's no big deal as long as you've got somebody to type it for you.
Sure, we're in a digital world now.
Yeah.
Well, L.A. Champagne, where is your book available?
My book is available at Chapters Indigo, and it's available through Amazon. And iUniverse was my first publisher. They are self-publisher, which I did.
That's what I imagine everywhere books are sold, you can pick up the book.
Yeah.
The Common Threads trilogy, we're talking about book two. And I just, do you have any final thoughts real quick before we wrap up?
Well, it's just, I want to open up the world to the differences and the horrific things that even happened through the 40s and 50s and 60s. And I think I got some of it really well.
Yeah.
And just little tidbits of news I'd heard over the years. And I kind of put things together. And
You know, I just think if you can just change one person's mind to make the world a better place, that's a wonderful thing to do.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry, we do have to wrap up, but thank you so much for being here. I've enjoyed our talk, and I look forward to talking about book three in a few weeks.
Okay. Thank you very much, Suzanne. It was a joy.
Thank you.
Is your child afraid of the dark? Are they scared of the monsters under the bed? I'm Not Afraid has helped thousands of parents teach their kids to face their fears. Grab your copy on Amazon or BarnesandNoble.com today.
Stick around. More Perspectives is on the way with Suzanne Lynn on AM 990 and FM 101.5. The Word. Welcome back to Perspectives with Suzanne Lynn. You can also listen online to the Perspectives podcast. Just click on thewordorlando.com. Now, once again, here's Suzanne.
So as a believer, maybe you have young kids or young adults that you want to get engaged. You want them to understand and live the word of Christ, but they're pretty tired of you just hitting them over the head with a Bible. Listen, my next author has written a series of books, and it has to do with ghosts, but hang in there with me because it has a strong Christian message meant to engage young a young audience. Her name is L.G. Nixon, and she wrote the series The Ghost of Darwin Stewart and The Ghostwriter. That is the second book of the Issachar Gatekeeper series. Welcome, Lisa.
Thank you. I appreciate your having me here.
Absolutely. Now, there's a lot of ghosts in those titles. I don't know. You know, the first thing people might say is, what do you mean ghosts? We're believers. We don't talk about ghosts. Share with us how that came to be and why you wrote about this.
Well, the Bible is filled with wonderful imagery. And if you open up the pages, there are ghosts, there are spirits, there are angels and demons and magicians and witches. I mean, there's all kinds of imagery. And I believe it's that imagery that the Lord is using. He's trying to spark our imagination to draw us into the story and reveal his word as we delve deeper. And so, you know, it's not a new concept. If you look back, there's been C.S. Lewis in the Chronicles of Narnia.
Sure.
There's been Charles Dickens with A Christmas Carol. Even Shakespeare in Macbeth had witches and ghosts. And each of these writers used Christian principles. So the concept isn't new, but I'm just reviving it for a younger generation. And I want to spark that imagination in young people to get them to know, you know, to delve deeper and to get to know the, you know, the God of the universe.
Because so just to be clear, these are absolute rock solid Christian books.
Yes, they are.
Okay.
Yes. And readers who are familiar with scripture will recognize scripture throughout the book. Mm-hmm. The character has an artifact called the Belt of Truth. Okay. And when the stones pop out of the belt, they reveal the word to her. And she uses that as part of her weaponry. And so, yes, it's very solid Christian
biblical truth.
You're
passionate about this because you see a decline in young people and their interest in knowing about Christ and hearing the word.
I do.
Can you share more about that?
Well, recently, Barna and Pew Research Groups did some studies, and within the last 10 years, there has been a decline in believers. Mm. And along with that, you have, you know, families drifting away from church. They're drifting away from God. There are teens that may not even know who God is.
Sure.
And so I wanted to give them an inspiring, adventurous story, something that's entertaining and uplifting, like, you know, the writers from old, Narnia and A Christmas Carol. They were magical and they were lingering stories. And I want to use that type of imagery to draw the reader in and to teach them about God.
It sounds to me that you are meeting people where they're at. And that what a sweet way to approach sharing the word of Christ, because a lot of teenagers and young people are trying to find themselves today. The world is more confusing than ever. And instead of, you know, hitting them over the head with a Bible, which sometimes is a great approach, but what a novel idea to have different ways of approaching people and meeting them on a heart level. And that's kind of an important message for you.
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's hard to talk to people. You never can gauge their reactions, you know, but if you meet them where they're at, and I love, you know, teens and young people, and reading with my granddaughter was just an absolute wonderful memory. I will always have that. And she's now going off to college, but this is a memory that, you know, we have that we share together.
Sure.
reading books. And I wanted to, you know, having my granddaughters, you know, in mind, wanted to give them something that, you know, that they could pick up and read. It's entertaining, it's uplifting, it's humorous in places, and they are teens. And they're doing teen things and getting into trouble and But then learning about the importance of faith and family and being there for your friends.
It grabs them back.
It pulls them back.
Yeah. One of the things I know is that you've talked about how important it is for young young adults to understand that they have a great purpose in this world, and that when we can find what that purpose is, we can find purpose in God.
Absolutely. I mean, at the core, each and every one of us want to be known, and God wants us to know Him. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, everyone's, you know, confused with, you know, everything, you know, coming at them in the world. You know, our teens are confused and wondering, you know, what's going on? What's my purpose? Well, I believe that our lives have meaning when we find our purpose in God, when we focus our thoughts and our actions through the filter of God's word. And by introducing them to His word in a fun and adventurous way, in a way that sparks the imagination, I believe this is something that we can draw them in. Hmm. I mean, God's word says it will not return to Him void. Right. And so if I can just introduce the word to them, the word will take it from there. And hopefully readers will be inspired to, you know, delve deeper into God's word.
I was just going to say that there's more than just consuming the information. You're hoping that this piques their interest to where they're like, wait a minute, I want to start diving in and finding out a little bit more through research.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Share with me more. Give me an example of how they might, what's something in the book that they would go, wait a minute, I want to know more about this.
Well, Lucy is my main character, and she meets, she thinks he's a wizard because he can do some really awesome things like just disappear. And so she meets him, she's thinking he's a wizard, and actually he's so much more. And eventually she develops a relationship with this individual, and he leads her into, he helps her to understand there is a spiritual realm. There's a realm that we can't see. Mm. And so he's teaching her. So now in the back of the book, I give the scripture references that are used throughout the book. Now they're not word for word in the book. They've been rewritten to fit the story.
Sure.
But they are based on scripture. So I give you those scripture references. And then there's also discussion questions. If you go to the website, there are also discussion questions that relate to the book, but get you to think a little bit deeper. You know, asking questions like, you know, Lucy develops a deep relationship with this individual. I don't want to give the whole story away.
Sure, but no, of course not.
But with this character that she comes to view him as a grandfather. And so, you know, she has him that she can talk to. And so do you have someone that you can talk to when you have questions on your heart? Mm. And so in giving them the scripture, I hope that, you know, by reading those references, that the word will bring them and draw them in.
Yeah.
And so
in an entertaining way, I mean, in an exciting way that they might be able to relate to. You know, one of the things that you really stress in the book, I mean, faith, family, friends, and loyalty. I mean, even taking some of the spiritual stuff out, the Christ-centered stuff out, I mean, it's a really positive message.
It is. It is. Anyone can pick it up and read it. It doesn't matter if they're, you know, from a Christian background or not. Those who are from a Christian background may recognize, you know, the scripture that's used throughout the book.
Right.
And if they're not from a background of a Christian family, they'll still find a very fun, entertaining, adventurous ghost story.
Sure. It's still just a great book. Yeah.
It's still just a good, fun, clean read.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, we're starting to wrap up a little bit, but You know, I love the fact that you're just introducing in bite-sized pieces, meeting people where they're at, these spiritual Christian concepts. And, you know, I pray just even if it's just one person that's curious and dives deeper, your job is done. Well done, servant, right?
Good people. Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Lisa, I want to give you the final word on your thoughts about the book and what message you hope that people will pick up from this.
Well, I just want them to know that, you know, God is real. He loves us. He wants you to know him. He wants to develop a relationship with you. Mm-hmm. And here's a fun way to learn about him. And, you know, parents and grandparents, if they want to read along with their teens, they can think of this these books as a series of tools in their toolbox to start a conversation and just to learn more together, you know, about the God of the universe who loves us, and he's created everything for us and for our benefit and for our enjoyment. And he's given us an imagination, and I'm going to use it.
Yeah, that's right. Good for you. Lisa, where's your book available? Where are your books, I should say? I keep referring to one, but it's a series. Yeah.
Yes, it's a series, and they're available on Amazon. You can buy them at the website. Or you can pick them up at any store, any fine bookstore. You can have them order it in for you.
Okay.
And the next book in the series will be launching this fall. And that one is called The Ghost You Can't See.
Oh, love it. Well, let's get started with The Ghost of Darwin Stewart, moving into The Ghost Writer, and then the third one coming out. Lisa, thank you so much. LG Nixon, appreciate it. Thank you for being on the show. And we'll talk again.
Wonderful. Looking forward to it.
Stick around. More Perspectives is on the way with Suzanne Lynn on AM 990 and FM 101.5. The Word. Welcome back to Perspectives with Suzanne Lynn. You can also listen online to the Perspectives podcast. Just click on thewordorlando.com. Now, once again, here's Suzanne.
We're so glad that you're here today. Listen, if you are in a place where you need encouragement, there are very few people that I think I can direct you to, and very few interviews that will show the vast array of encouragement, of giving, and how when you give, you're getting back. I mean, hey, we're going to put a priest on the spotlight right now. So it's Monsignor Paul. We're so glad you're here. He wrote the book, Along the Way, A Priest's Journey of Joys and Challenges. Welcome.
Thank you.
Well, listen, is there a way that you can just begin by telling us what the general book message is?
Well, it came when I was approaching 50 years of being a priest. I thought it was time to look back at all the stories that shaped my priesthood and, you know, the different opportunities the Lord had given me to help shape other people's lives. And I began to reflect on the wealth of stories. You know, in the introduction to my book, I mentioned that, you know, so many times someone like Michelangelo had such great imagination that he would look at a block of marble and see David or Moses and feel that he had to release David or Moses from the block of marble. Mm. And I kind of felt the same way. I felt that I had to, you know, release a message that had, you know, not only characterized my life, but is an example to others of the messages they have in their lives, you know, that, you know, that to look at the significance of their own lives and the impact that other people have had on their lives. And it became a wonderful, you know, experience of great gratitude, you know. So despite the challenges, the joys seem to outweigh the challenges.
Did you have challenges? You're a priest. I don't know. Sitting on the outside, I'm being sarcastic, but, you know, sitting on the outside, we go, man, you're a man of God. You're protected. You're in a bubble. My life, if I told you, your toes would curl. You know, like, tell me about how you're relating to people and how, if they have a story that's like, yeah, mine's not a pre-story. Share that connecting point with me.
Well, the bubble gets bursted too. You know, I think in a section of my book called Essays, you know, which I try to reflect on my own philosophy of things. And in one particular essay, it's called Loaves and Fishes. And it's really about that. that issue of efforts and results. You know, that it's so often we try to manage the results, and that really belongs to God. Mm. You know, our job is efforts, like the little boy who gave 5 loaves and 2 fish, which didn't seem like much, but he put it in the hands of God. And look what Jesus did. He multiplied the loaves and fishes and fed a multitude of people. In that particular chapter, I talk about some of the real challenges, you know, how sometimes we don't see results to all our efforts, you know, that there are frustrations, but how you always have to keep your eyes fixed on the Lord, you know, because he's the master of the results. And as long as we're doing our part, we're giving our 5 loaves and 2 fish, well, the Lord will do the rest.
So you're weaving all this amazing experience, whether it's positive or negative, into encouragement and sharing how to move forward and have greater faith through all of it.
Yes.
Oh, that's amazing.
And I think that is the challenge. And as I reflected on the book of the give and take, you know, in a sense, lessons learned and lessons taught, which is really going to be the topic of my second book, I thought of the fact that every time you thought you were imparting some sort of wisdom, you were also gaining wisdom, you know, from the people that you were ministering to. And you gain a perspective. Mm. And I guess I wanted to encourage other people to have a perspective with regard to their lives, with regard to, you know, their experience of life. You know, that there's much in the world that can discourage us, yeah. But with the eyes of faith, as St. Paul tells us, you know, we walk by faith and not by sight. You know, that faith gives us a whole new vision and a whole new way of approaching things that sight is limited in giving us.
Who actually is your intended audience? Is it for senior people who have lived a good life and have a lot of stories to share wisdom about, or who are you targeting?
In general, it's everyone. I mean, I had a focus, and my focus were priests and seminarians, you know, to encourage them, you know, along the way. But the book is general enough that I think anyone can relate to it, you know, a young person, a senior, because I think everyone gets to the point of wondering, of asking the deeper questions, like, why am I here? Mm. What's it all about? Where am I going? Am I making a difference? And I think that's what the book tries to address. I try to keep brother priests in mind, and, you know, because of some of the unique experiences that, from the perspective of being a priest, and seminarians, you know, who are preparing for the priesthood. But I think the book, even though that may be part of my focus, it's still a general focus in terms of a very general audience.
Yeah. The one thing that really stood out to me about it is the fact that you really value people. And I would imagine after hearing so many confessions, some people could get really down on the human race, you know, but your book is so positive, and you talk about the value of people and loving people and helping them. And that's a big part of your book, and it's very profound. Can you expound more on that?
Yes, particularly in the section of my book called Pastoral Vignettes. You know, many of them are funny incidents that occurred over the years, but have a serious content to them. And it's where you really learned about human nature, and where you learned about the goodness of people, even in circumstances where they didn't see their own goodness. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it was an opportunity to, you know, to proclaim the good news to them, you know, that their lives mean something, even if they don't think so. And I think that, you know, it's in, even as Jesus pointed out in his ministry, when he approached people like the woman caught in adultery or Zacchaeus or the prodigal son or the good thief or the woman at the well, you know, his message was always the same, that they were worthwhile, you know, mm-hmm. the very heart of particularly the Bible is found in the opening pages, you know, that we're made in the image and likeness of God, and that we have a dignity that no one has the right to take from us, and we don't have the right to take from ourselves. And yet that seems to be something, even though it's proclaimed, it's not necessarily believed. Mm-hmm. You know, it's people about the experience of their lives.
That's such a great, we could talk many, many hours, but I think that we you and I both agree that there's life with God and there's life without God. What is the, over the past years that you've been, you know, a priest, what would you say, or can you say what the, a general big boulder is that's separating, what's causing that chasm between people who don't have God and people who have God?
Well, I think it's the fact, I think everybody has a God, you know, and the problem is it's taking the focus off the real God and realizing that whatever you're making a God in your life is just not going to fulfill you unless it's the real God. You know, I think of Hebrews where it says, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, you know, and not on the circumstances, but on Jesus. You know, I think of Peter walking on water, and he was able to do so as long as he kept his eyes on Jesus. But the moment he looked at the circumstances, he sank. And I think that many people are frustrated because their gods don't work, and they don't know that. And they're too easily, they easily dismiss God because they're really dismissing not God, but their image of God. And it's often their image of God that stands in the way of finding the real God.
I want to visit one of the essays, The Impossible Dream. Would you talk about that?
Well, I always consider myself somewhat of an idealist, but a realist. And what I was always fascinated, my favorite Broadway play, in fact, I even did a retreat using the themes of The Man of La Mancha as the substance of the retreat. But in The Impossible Dream, it talks about something that always looks beyond our grasp, you know, but we still strive for it. And then it raises the question of what are you willing to pay to get there? And I think that it's a quest in life that if we keep our eyes, you know, fixed on, you know, what looks impossible, and yet with God's grace and strength is possible, and that we keep focused, you know, then whether we see it or not, it'll come about in some way, the way God wants it to.
Absolutely. I've experienced that. And I think a lot of people that are listening and watching this have probably also said, yeah, I can point to that time. I want to give you the final word before we start to wrap up. Do you have any thoughts as we begin to end?
I just think that I would point out that we live in a world of great discouragement, and our only weapon to fight that is encouragement, you know, but not to encourage people in a superficial way with platitudes or, you know, flattery, but true affirmation. And I think that what the book tries to do is to affirm the human experience and the interaction with God, that it's that true affirmation that enables us to believe in ourselves and to believe in God.
It's so absolutely true. So many of us are broken and hurt, and we have these big gaping holes. What are we going to fill that with? Is it going to be negative? Is it going to be destructive? Or is it going to be picking up your book and just at least reading one page? What are we filling our head and our heart and our spirit with? Thank you so much for joining us today. Monsignor Paul, Along the Way, A Priest's Journey of Joys and Challenges. We thank you so much. Bless you.
Thanks for joining us for Perspectives. If you're a Christian author and would like to be considered for an interview, send an email to suzanne.len@comcast.net. And join us again next week at this time for Perspectives with Suzanne Len on AM 990, FM 101.5, The Word, online at thewordorlando.com.